Live from the EPB Fiber Optic Studio, this is WLND Signal Mountain, Chattanooga.
Health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and so much more. Welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, a production of Whitfield Media Group, with your hosts, Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World, and Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical doctor.
Good morning and welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial, 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World here in Chattanooga, and joining me is Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical doctor, CHI Memorial. Good morning, Dr. Green.
Good morning, Ed. So great to be with you again this Sunday morning and with all of our listeners as well. Let me thank CHI Memorial for all they're doing, well, in my life and in the whole community. Once again, thank you to CHI for planning the hospital in Northwest Georgia at 4700 Battlefield Parkway. I can't wait till you do it, and it'll be such a great thing for this community, and both really for Chattanooga to draw some from there too, as well as North Georgia. So thank you again, CHI. We know why you were voted number one, U.S. News and World Report. Thank you also, Benchmark Physical Therapy, with whom I've worked for 10 plus years. And a big thanks to LHC Group, Louisiana Healthcare, through Home Care Solutions, Home Health, Ringgold, and Dalton, who are also a sponsor of our show. They do some great home health work in this area, and we should have a new office both for home health and hospice coming up in December. I'll try to announce the open house. That'll be down in Dalton, the Dalton office, not the Ringgold office. And my thanks to Heartlight Hospice, another LHC group, for all the ministry they do in Northwest Georgia as well. Hospice is certainly a ministry, and we've had them on the show before, and hopefully we'll have both home health and hospice back on the show. I think people really need to learn what kind of services these people provide, just because most people don't really understand. And same thing about primary care. It's just a pleasure doing family practice here for the last 20 plus years and a family tradition that goes back 150 years. I mean, I don't know if any of my kids will go into the same field or not, or even go into medicine. It seems to be that primary care is not as much in the forefront anymore, but it needs to be. I think people still need that country doctor, somebody to come to that they trust and knows their entire family, their entire history. And there are people that I've known long enough. I'm in the third generation now, and actually I know their history right off the top of my head. I don't have to look at the chart. And that's just a rare pleasure. And they're my friends too, and we do things in the community and at church, as well as being my patients. So it's great to have a family of patients like that, and I am truly blessed in this life, as you are, Ed. I mean, you have a family there both at Nutrition World, and your customers are your family too. So tell us what's going on with you.
Thank you, my friend. And you are so right about the fact that what you are doing is you're building a community and you're building a connection and a friendship. And as we all know, in every avenue of corporate world, it seems to be lessening those kind of connections. And at Nutrition World, I did start it in 1979 with my passion for the belief and wanting to be massively educated on the connection between food, nutrition, and health. And that has been ongoing now for almost 41 years. And thank you, Chattanooga, for voting best of the best for Nutrition World. Three different awards this year, first place. And that has never happened to us. In fact, we've won second and third places for as probably as long as they've had best of the best. And we had one first place. But this year we got three first places: best weight loss, best holistic center, and best health food store.
Well deserved.
Thank you. And it does remind me the North Georgia best of the best is coming up. So,
which I have failed to announce. I did a horrible job marketing last year. I usually put stuff out there on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and I did absolutely nothing. Well, I've got to do it again. So please. If you don't have a doctor, go vote for me. And even if you don't know me, you can go do that. But if you are a North Georgia resident, yes, please go and vote for your provider and also your favorite businesses in town. And I would greatly appreciate your vote for primary care provider.
Dr. Christopher Green, that's who you're going to look for. And you can.
And hopefully I've got your vote, Ed.
Oh, I don't live in North Georgia.
Well, you know people that do, though.
I do, and that's why I'm speaking it. So you can rest
on. Maybe some of your employees.
Yeah, true. I have 26 employees. I'm sure I've got a few in Georgia.
Let's recruit.
I think we're recruiting right now. This is recruiting votes on Vital Health Radio. So
absolutely.
It's really important for Chattanooga because it gives other people the connection to what other people think in a very easy way. So it doesn't guarantee good service, but I do really have more confidence in businesses that do get voted first or second. In fact, you know, I'm not putting any plug in for them, but I know, you know, I'm almost 63. The one thing that is lessening on me is my hearing. I can't hear as well. The day will come that I will need a hearing aid. Well, I don't know anything about it. I'm sure you know a lot more. I just know that Johnson Audiology won first place. Well, probably that's who I'll maybe go see, unless someone told me otherwise. So, again, thank you, Chattanooga, for that. I also want to remind people that, you know, we had a time change, and some of the studies on that are very interesting. In fact, when they looked at workplace injuries, heart attacks, and other things as far as accidents and heart attacks in the spring, it was 10% increase in heart attacks, and in the fall it was less. So we're in the lucky sweet period of being better, but when you lose the sleep in the spring, it actually changes some of the risk factors for health. And 10% substantial, and that shows you the massive need for sleep management in order to, you know, maintain health. And
that's
we
a common issue in primary care, I will tell you that.
Really? A lot of your patients come in and say, "Doc, I'm just not sleeping well."
Oh, it's super common. Some come in just for that, but usually it's an, oh, by the way, at the very end, it's like, oh, I forgot to mention, I'm not sleeping but 2 hours a night, or they've had it for 20 years and have never done anything about it. So you have to get to the root cause of it. So that's part of the problem, is not just throwing an Ambien at everybody, but to get to the root cause of why they're not sleeping is the hard part. And that takes some investigative skill, but we do have a lot of both medical prescription and non-prescription items, and we talk about them all in the office.
Well, that's great, and you are right about being a detective. We don't, you and I both don't believe in putting the duct tape on the red light on the dashboard. We want to go ahead and, you know, look into things and why it's happening. And I do have a national podcast called The Holistic Navigator. On there, I did a 29-minute segment on sleep, and I go through a whole host of options and reasons and more natural methods to help re-regulate it. Because part of lack of sleep is, I think we can get locked into certain sleep patterns, and then despite the fact that the body needs sleep, it just still focuses on those patterns, like waking up at 1 and 3 and not going back to sleep. So part of it is retraining that, and I'm sure you probably had some of that yourself, haven't you?
I don't know that there's anybody. I've had a couple of people say they've never had any sleep disturbance. One or two, not very many. Do I have that happen? Yes. You know, we were talking to our, I can't remember if that was on the air or off the air, with the when we were doing acupuncture, if you remember. And she said, "Do you wake up?" I said, "Yeah, about every night at 3. Typically go back to sleep, but 3 a.m. is a typical time for me. It's usually not an issue. But yeah, I'd say that's one of the most common things I hear, and I've seen that all my life. We've talked about that on the air, I think. We talked about melatonin and GABA. We talked about, you know, exercise and its relation to sleep. So common problem. Maybe we need to have a sleep disorder specialist on the show sometime. I have some friends who do that.
That would be good. And, you know, there's a book called The Yoga of Sleep that changed my whole perspective on this, and it really says that it's somewhat natural to wake up at 3. The issue is, are we going back to sleep in either that super light, non-refreshing sleep, or are we going back into the deep refreshing? Most people stay in the light. So, you know, waking up at 3 is fine if you're back at 3:15 into the deep sleep. Mm-hmm. Most of us are not doing that. My go-to, which is not a fix but is a remedy, is GABA. I leave GABA next to my bed. I'll take 1,000 milligrams when I awaken, and it will calm the mind, because cognitive popcorn is what it's referred to when the mind starts thinking and overthinking.
And that's what I tell my patients. Keep it at your bedside. If you wake up and you're still sleepy and want to go back to sleep, don't take it. If your mind starts racing,
bingo,
take your GABA. So, but yes, that's super, super common. And you may not know this, but most, I know doctors, I can't say for all medical providers, we have an uncanny ability to sleep at any time, anywhere, like a cat. So, I mean, we just learn to curl up under any desk anytime you have a little moment to do it. And I've fallen asleep on my desk more times than I can remember.
Really?
Just for like 5 minutes.
I cannot do that.
So it's an odd ability, but they train that cat-like behavior into us.
Well, when you're young, you can. If you started learning it now, it probably would not work. And
we
didn't do that.
We learned it at 20.
I mean, I was a policeman, and I was on midnight shift, and all, and it wouldn't matter. I couldn't take a nap for all the money in the world. Still can't do it, which is not good, because if you're really exhausted, it's Sunday afternoon, and you have opportunity, there's a chance, but I can't seem to.
Do you remember who in history was famous for his ability to take just a short 15-minute nap and then keep going? We'd go, you know, like for 2 or 3 days at a point.
Who?
Winston Churchill.
Oh,
so he was famous
yes.
for those real short naps.
Yes. I love that. Well, guess what? It's already time for us to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be discussing a really interesting topic, which is float tanks. I've done it many, many, many times.
And we've promised each other that we'll do that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We've got that plus more to come with Dr. Green. I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet. And keep us tuned in on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm here back with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green, and we have a very most interesting guest today, one that I have known for quite some time, Angela McAllister. Welcome to Vital Health Radio, Angela.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You know, I've been a person who's journeyed through every kind of crevice and corner of the conversation of holistic and health and kind of on the fringes on many times. And what you do is not on the fringe anymore. But back when I first started doing it 15, 20 years ago, it far, far more was close to
right,
the fringe.
Right.
And it is flotation tanks. And you are the owner of Lucidity here in Chattanooga. And I must say, you know, probably the majority of people have never, ever, ever experienced flotation tanks. And it is not for everyone, but I can tell you, for the people that it is for me, and just you sitting here, I am so missing my moments in the float tanks. Mm. So maybe tell the listeners who know basically nothing other than seeing it, what it was in a few movies early on, what, mm-hmm. 70s or 80s and, mm-hmm. you know, some of that. But tell, kind of explain, what is a float tank and why do people go?
So floating, the act of floating itself is essentially a practice, just kind of like yoga or meditation. It's where you are floating in a pool of water that is mm-hmm. about 10 inches deep. It's heated up to the same temperature as your body. And whenever you close the door and turn the lights off, it's completely dark, it's totally silent, and your mind and your body is able to completely relax. So because there's 1,000 pounds of salt in each one of the pools, your body just rests effortlessly right on the surface. So you're mm-hmm. not fighting gravity for the first time ever. And then after a while, your mind kind of does a lot of jumping jacks, you know, at first. You realize just how active your brain can be. But then after about, you know, the 20-minute mark or so, it's sort of forced to slow down and relax, because it's not having to process any information. So what it does is it pulls you out of that whole fight or flight mode. Your brain enters a theta state where it's producing theta waves, and it's just incredibly relaxing. So it's really wonderful for people who have anxiety. Of course, if you have just general muscle aches and pains, I mean, most people will take a cup of Epsom salts and put that in their bathtub, but this is 1,000 pounds of salt, so you're really absorbing a lot of that magnesium, and it helps to ease those aches and pains. And then, you know, some people use it for creative purposes. You know, it's 90 minutes, 75 minutes of uninterrupted creative time. And you can do a lot of problem solving. It can be nothing short of transformative at times, and you know. But every float's a little bit different. So,
as we said off the air, I've never done that, and really know virtually nothing except for what we've talked about on the air here in the past. Is there sound? Is there music? Is it silent? Are you enclosed in something or in an open room? I'm curious about those little details.
So it's interesting that you say that, because it actually, we have both. So for folks that don't like being in an enclosed space, we have an open room. The pool, the base, the pool of water itself is the same, and the temperatures are the same. It's just as silent, it's just as dark and all of that as the tanks, but it's not enclosed, and so the humidity level is lower. So we find that people who tend to get hot easily really love the open room. Of course, if you have claustrophobia or mobility issues, the open room is really great. The tanks are the same pool of water, but with a cover over the top and a door that you open up and you step inside. So yes, we do encourage everybody to, in the open room, you can control the lights and music from inside the pool. We do encourage everybody to try it without the lights and the music, because that's where your brain really is able to relax. But we also do realize that, like I said, it's not necessarily for everyone. And we try to meet everybody where they are in terms of this experience. And so if they need that light on, that's fine. You can float with the light on. You're welcome to get out at any time. But it's, it's
very relaxing. Speaking of that, how long does the typical float session last, or is there a set time?
Well, we do 75-minute floats and also 90-minute floats. For people who are doing this for the first time, I really do recommend the 90 minutes, because it does take your brain a little bit longer to kind of settle down. It's a new experience. You're floating on the surface of water. It's kind of wild. And so, you know, it's just interesting, you know? And so it takes a while for you to kind of, you know, calm down, realize that you're not going to drown and you're not going, you know, everything is fine, you're safe, and you calm down and relax. And then you settle into that theta state. And so the 90-minute float for the beginners are really essential.
And I'm going to speak more about my own experience, but while people are probably turning over in their heads this conversation, tell about the sanitation and the fact that we don't mm-hmm. have to worry about germs.
Not at all. Well, you know, they call the Dead Sea because nothing can live in it. And our float pools have 7 times more salt than the Dead Sea does. Mm. And so in addition to that, it goes through a 3-part sanitation system. So we skim them by hand, and then it goes through a paper cartridge filtration system, just like you have with a pool, except for this is only for 200 gallons of water. And then it also goes through either a UV or an ozone sanitation system.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. So it zaps anything else that just happened to be remaining. Mm-hmm. And then it goes, you know, into the pool where there's 1,000 pounds of salt and nothing can live anyway. But it is an incredibly sanitary environment. And so...
Well, and so I have a UV pen, as I told you, for camping and purifying water. So they work quite well.
Right, yeah.
And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Vital Health Radio 98.1 The Lake. And thank you for joining us. I am Ed Jones with Nutrition World with my partner, Dr. Green. And we are talking to Angela with Lucidity, the float tank and hyperbaric oxygen chamber that you have. But my personal experience, Angela, of course, I don't think you were the owner back when I first started, mm-mm. because you've owned it, what, how long now?
We just celebrated our 2nd anniversary.
Okay,
yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And I had done a little bit of floating early in my life, but not a whole lot. And I will say that you said the word, you know, that you want the brain to disconnect somewhat, mm-hmm. because we are living in a world of massive need to distract with technology and with overwork and with television and with food and actually there was a study done with college students where they had a choice between sitting in a totally quiet room with no diversions for an hour, or they could choose to be shocked by electricity, and more than half decided to be shocked, because sitting alone can be terrifying, because we're not used to, we kind of think our thoughts are really who we are.
Right.
And in the float tank, if you can let go, it's very obvious that you have been you've been swallowed up in the ocean of your thoughts for many, many decades. And you really didn't realize that there was a silent being that's actually probably watching the thoughts rather than thinking you are the thoughts. Now, that's just my 2 cents. I will say that I did have a out-of-body experience on the 2nd flotation tank that I did. It wasn't the first, because I'll tell you, the first one, it did take me a little bit to figure out, you know, how do I keep my neck from hurting? And I used mm-hmm. that little thing that you blow up, you mm-hmm. put behind the neck, because it was a little uncomfortable. So the working out the uncomfortable part, once I did that, it was amazing. And it was like floating on air when I drove home.
Right.
It was, and it lasted for quite some time. Mm-hmm. I mean, these things are not instant fixes. And in a perfect world, if we had a float center near Nutrition World, I would guarantee you once a week I would be in that. Mm-hmm. I think it's such an easy way to become meditative without even working at it.
It's like training wheels for it, right?
It is training wheels, but letting go and learning to let go is easy when, and here's my take again, I know I'm talking when the guests should be talking, but within 5 to 8 minutes, I lost the connection to where my body ended and the water started.
Right.
There, I could not find the physical Edward Jones.
Right.
It was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be unnerving when you feel that at first, but then, boy, when you release into it, you are the ocean and the waves and the salt, and there's no me and that. It's mm-hmm. just it.
It's all right. That's
just
exactly
it.
Right. Yeah.
Sound like I've been smoking some weed this morning.
Well, actually, I've talked to some patients about that. I've heard some actually have, like, when they start to disconnect, it scares them. I don't know if that's true. If anybody ever has more of a panic attack with that, but I've heard of people having that as well.
And that happened to me the first time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's
really
true.
Yeah, it did. It did. It is. And I have ADD, and so you can imagine putting someone with ADD into a tank where all you have is your mind. but for me, it actually is an opportunity for my mind to calm down. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it's whenever your thoughts kind of sort of take hold, and you let your thoughts control you, then it can become really overwhelming.
Well, otherwise, how often do we actually stop?
Never.
I was just thinking of laying by the pool with my son years ago, and he said, "I'm bored, we're not doing anything." And I said, "And I'm having a great time not doing it." So, you know, about the only time I can think of that I really stop is in the summertime at the beach or by the pool. That's it.
That's it.
And so it's hard for me, and I guess I'm a lot like you. I think most medical providers are part ADD, and we have trouble stopping. And you and I, Ed, have very busy lives. The thought of stopping for an hour and a half, frankly, for me, is kind of scary.
Right.
The only time I stop is when I'm asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the interesting thing is that is really the best time that you need to go, because when you are in that whole go, 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 go mode, if you don't stop and take a break and get some perspective, because this gives you amazing perspective in there, if you don't do that, then you just end up getting lost in the future. So you're not thinking, you're not being in the present, you're not living, you're thinking about what's going to be happening next. And so you end up missing life, you know, you end up missing all of that stuff.
Oh, I'm thinking of, and I've said this before, I think on the air to Ed, I tend to, in the biblical story of Mary and Martha and Jesus, I'm much more Martha, Martha, Martha. You're worried and upset about so many things, but there's only one that matters, you know, and it's, I think most of us are more like Martha than Mary. She stopped and just enjoyed the moment.
Exactly.
And Martha was too busy.
Right, right.
So and most of us are the busy people.
Right. And that's a shame. And that's a real shame. And so I find whenever I am so stressed and I've got so much on my plate that I can't do anything else, that's actually when I stop and I go get in the tank. Because it actually, that actually makes me stop and go, okay, now what should I really be worried about? What should I really be focused on? And all the other stuff just falls aside because you realize it's really not that important, you know?
Yeah,
and so
falls aside and it really gets recalibrated as to its real level of importance.
Exactly.
Which it plays a place. I mean, we cannot just float tank and forget our zip code and forget paying bills. But there's a mixture of all of that. Now, I know, and I'm not going to totally explain it. When after the float tank, you have showers because you are covered with salt.
Mm-hmm. Before and after.
You're right. Before and after.
Right.
And it's really weird that my memory of taking those showers, because it's almost like I don't remember taking the showers.
Yeah.
But I knew I had to because the salt in my hair and things.
Right.
Occasionally, I did get a couple drops in my eye when I was floating. So I figured out how to take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
But other than a couple drops, I've never had a discomfort moment, never had a panic moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really hate it when that music starts playing.
I know.
Because the music comes on and it's time to open the door.
That's right.
And I did do the open tank once. I am a person who loves the closed tank, I will have to say, the total darkness. But explain to everyone, you know, how can they contact you? Where are you located? And approximately, you know, maybe the pricing of it and if you have a special.
Sure, we do. So we're downtown in Southside, Chattanooga, and in the Southern Surgical Arts Building, which is at 1405 Cowart Street. So it's basically a block away from Main, right off of Broad. And We do. You mentioned the not wanting to get out. We do extended floats in the evening. We can do it overnight floats as well.
Overnight?
So, we've had people in there for 6 hours.
No.
6 hours.
You should not have told me that.
They need to take an Uber home whenever they do one of those. Yeah.
But now they would get out to go to the bathroom if they.
They do. Yeah. I think that they both ended up doing that. They got out. They actually got in the shower and kind of just sort because you have to kind of shake it off. Like you get if you stay in one position the whole time, you actually get a little stiff.
You do.
So you have to get out and kind of, rinse out. Yeah. And I've had some water and apples and stuff, and they ate all that. And yeah, but 6 hours as long as. And we do those quite regularly where we do after hours and late nights.
Okay. And so your website and other information?
Our website's luciditychattanooga.com. Our standard session is 75 minutes, but like I said, for folks that are doing this for the first time, we do recommend that 90-minute session to give you a little extra time to settle into it. For a 90-minute session, it's $85. For a 75-minute session, it's $75. And we do have membership options that knock the prices all the way down to like $33 a session.
Wow.
And so depending on how frequently you want to come, we can work something out with that. And we do have a special promo for the listeners today. If you want to get $20 off of either float or hyperbaric session, log on and book your appointment and use discount code NUTRITION.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. And if you don't mind, I will use that at the store. How long would this be good for?
We can hold it out for as long as you
want. Okay. Yeah. Nutrition World is going to be a partner in helping people be comfortable with trying to do this with that special. Thank you so much, Angela, for Lucidity.
Thank you.
And it's time for us to take a break. When we come back, we'll be discussing more about your health. We've got that, plus a ton to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
We're all about healthy living and enjoying life. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World here in Chattanooga, back with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green. And today we've got a gentleman that I have known for quite some time, have a massive amount of respect for, Dr. Matt McClanahan. And we are going to talk, or he is, about a lot of topics involving emotions and pain. Welcome to Vital Health Radio, Dr. McClanahan.
Thanks, Ed. Yeah, good to see you.
I don't know really how to start this. I know that in my own personal journey and trying to learn and educate others for the betterment of their health, I came across a gentleman named Dr. John Sarno years and years ago, and I know we've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. He really, really nailed it as far as his entire career, and you have to clarify it more than I can, the relationship between emotions, chronic anger and stress, and how it relates to physical pain in the body, and that you really can't super address and cure a lot of physical pain unless you deal with the emotional complexity of this. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's totally right. And it's kind of interesting. It doesn't exactly, make one-to-one sense. What does emotion have to do with things like degenerative disc disease and arthritis or certain other inflammatory conditions? And, it's interesting. It kind of does and it doesn't. We know that there are numerous people that, their eczema or psoriasis gets triggered by stress, right? That's, mm-hmm. Well, those are more allergic or immune conditions. And certain other things, we know strong correlations to things like childhood trauma and the incidence of certain GI disorders or even cancers and some heart disease later in life via the ACE study has shown us that kind of thing. And so it doesn't make one-to-one sense, but when you begin to think about pain as a protection signal, it's sort of an alarm that goes off. It's created by our brain. Doesn't mean it's imagined or in the mind, but the brain produces this sensation called pain, produces fatigue, produces hunger, produces itchiness to warn us, to protect us from something on our skin or something that maybe needs attention inside our body. That those physical sensations are one half of how our brain gets us to mobilize and change our position or change our place in life. The other half of that alarm system is our feelings, emotions, right? I don't do anything. I didn't get out of bed and come here this morning other than my interest in talking to you and teaching people about this. Like, there's an emotional, visceral thing that moves us to take action in our lives, whether that's positive action, things like joy and contentment and gratitude, tells us to pursue more of what what's leading to that thing, head this way, or things like anger and regret or resentment and fear. These things tell us to move away from that other thing. And so this is where John Sarno, as you mentioned, started really contributing to the medical field in recognizing that a lot of these chronic pain conditions, things like degenerative disc disease, for example, a lot of people have been told that's why they have chronic back pain, but that this is present in many, many people with no pain. Mm-hmm. And he would start to see, early life stress and ongoing life stressors in the lives of people with the chronic pain that wasn't getting better that he was seeing. And he started looking at this a little bit more holistically, and starting to incorporate emotional work and even certain patterns in the nervous system, and started finding that people's symptoms were unlocking and resolving, in some cases cured. And that was really remarkable. And so he started to develop this, as you said you've benefited from some of that, and even in the past. So,
yeah, I have. It was a game changer for me as far as my own physical being when I started to not look at my body like a piece of equipment that is broken and that a mechanic needs to go in and fix it always. Because, you know, I think his theory was, and or at least this is how I interpret it, that it's, for most of us, it's far easier to handle physical pain than the deep emotional traumas that we have gone through. Mm-hmm. And so the body creates the physical pain as a distraction. And tell me if this is true. I know I, as Dr. Green does, hears every single story of every person and patient that he probably consults with. And I hear many, many stories myself. And when pain moves around, because that's not uncommon with the people I talk to. I don't know about you, Dr. Green, but, you know, like, yeah, you know, I had this pain for 3 months and then it left. But then it started over here and then it left and it went over here. Mm-hmm. Does that not send a signal that maybe there's a lot more that, like maybe emotions truly are creating it, and it's, there's nothing wrong with the body part. It's just hurting, but then it keeps moving. It is moving an issue?
That's a great point. Yeah, no, that's a really important key for me as I'm assessing someone, perhaps with back pain or chronic headaches, that the pain will resolve or diminish and kind of move somewhere else, or it will activate in another system. I had one patient, a younger woman with chronic pelvic pain, and she had gone to a pelvic floor specialist, physical therapist, who did great work with her. And over some weeks, but shortly thereafter, she started noticing some abdominal cramping and irritability and almost irritable bowel type symptoms. And it's like it moved, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so other people will, you know, have horrible pain throughout the week, or some other symptom, fatigue or insomnia, but then it resolves sort of on the weekend, but then comes back Sunday night. So they've attributed it to work, right? Because you're at work all day during the weekdays, but then Sunday night's sort of like, wait a minute. You're still at home. Why would this be here now? You know, due to, you know, whether that's the lights at work or the ventilation or some terrible chair. People go on vacation and it gets better. These are really important signals to say, wait a minute, that doesn't make structural sense. The strictly tissue-based structural explanation may not be related here. And especially also when things get triggered. This is another one. Triggered by weather, triggered by bright lights, triggered by car rides that are over 10 minutes long, these sorts of things. I had a back pain that, started in 2014 and lasted for almost 2 years. I had back pain on and off before then, but my actual trigger was flexing my spine. Now, that's kind of interesting. You would think that, well, you know, I'm moving the back, so that would be, you know, logical that trigger would be for the back, but it was actually more of a mental and emotional trigger. And, you know, certainly I wouldn't bend over to tie my shoes and think about some stressful situation from my childhood. And that's not how it works. But the brain starts to make associations, just like Pavlov trained his dogs to salivate when he would ring a bell, right? I started to, through various circumstances and conditioning, my brain in an unconscious level began to associate flexion of the lumbar spine with pain, with stiffness, with danger, essentially. And so it would create this symptomology. But You know, it took some reflection on that, but there was a lot going on at the time when this pain started. A lot of other things, emotional, stress-wise, that really started this thing into play. And then I eventually coupled this conditioned response and I was able to resolve it. And that's great.
There you go. So, without painkillers and without treating symptoms. Two questions, one of which is, so people listening, what is your system? What is your protocol? And secondly, how does someone like Dr. Green, how does it work to integrate that into a primary care center? Is it workable? And, you know, what are you doing for patients? How does it work?
Yeah, I like to tell other physicians, I use a mnemonic called SHIFT, and we're always trying to, you know, usher in a paradigm shift here. But SHIFT, the S looks for sensitization. So we're looking for sensitivity in a system. Somebody's, if they're already sensitive to various foods or smells or bright lights, that's one thing. If they have, you know, a history of you know, childhood adversity, things, an ACE study or an ACE score, ACE, adverse childhood experience score, is a well-validated research tool that can kind of screen for these early life priming events. These sorts of things, I'm looking for sensitization in general. Other diagnoses, right? When somebody comes with back pain, but they also have anxiety, insomnia, chronic headaches, irritable bowel or bladder type symptoms, that cues me in to say this is probably a nervous system sensitization. The second part is history. Often there is a history of injury. A lot of my symptomologies that would persist for a long time and that had more of a mind-body origin started with an injury. I would do tissue damage to my ankle or to a hip or low back or shoulder or something, but the healing would take months and years. And so that part, when we start to see that, you know, the historical piece doesn't line up, or that somebody's back pain just started even without an injury. Mm-hmm. It was 2 days after they were working in the yard, and that's just what they attribute it to. But that part, so that historical piece that we're looking for tissue damage, yes, but we're looking for like exaggerated healing times and that's things that don't quite line up for how the body works. And the last parts we've also talked about already, inconsistency of the mm-hmm. symptoms, mm-hmm. You know, vacillating or moving around. F is the functional nature of them. So if somebody's having fevers or there's, you know, they're having, you know, abdominal cramping, but then there's blood coming in the stool, that's not functional. That's right. That's not a symptomology base. We really need to get down to a root. Mm-hmm. Root cause of these things. If there's weight loss or, you know, people are getting jaundiced or something, mm-hmm. like we really need to dig into that. And then the last part is triggers and timing. Certain people get more symptoms around the holidays or certain times of day or when certain people are around or certain settings, weather fronts and this sort of thing. We're looking for triggers. And this is, so that SHIFT mnemonic helps, I can help doctors assess whether, this is maybe an irritable bowel syndrome versus an inflammatory bowel disease like Crohn's or ulcerative colitis, mm-hmm. which is a completely separate condition as well. So that's for doctors. It's nice to have in mind a bit of a framework with which to pursue this and mm-hmm. Evaluate patients. So,
and then you would counsel the patients, or you're doing what?
Yeah. So I mean, basically the treatment is changing people's relationship to fear.
Yeah. I mean, there you go.
Pain is a protection signal, mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean that there's, because you have back pain, that you have childhood trauma that's unresolved in your life. That's not what I'm saying at all. But often these stressful situations in the past and in the present, and even ways that we treat ourselves and personality, perfectionism, people pleasing, just a lot of self pressure and mm-hmm. Internalizing of emotions, this sort of thing. People trying to be good and nice and hard workers, but they build up a lot of this inner emotional pressure, which is trying to protect them, right? But they sort of swallow that back because, I don't know, in the South, you know, we bless people's hearts around here. We don't yell at them and, mm-hmm. you know, or Christians don't get angry or some yeah. nonsense yeah. like that. Mm-hmm. And that builds up a lot of inner pressure that instead of coming out the usual emotional route, right, it comes out the physical route
there
instead.
There you go.
And so I help people understand this. Okay. It's a lot of psychoeducation, but we're really eventually trying to move people to a place where they're reducing the fear in their lives. They're using some skills to understand how to do that, like mindfulness or even things like what's called graded exposure. You know, somebody who's afraid of heights, to get them unafraid of heights, you expose them bit by bit to right. little heights until their brain starts to recognize that they're safe within this sort of thing. And so the name of my practice is the Center for Insight Medicine. And that's what I'm trying to foster in a lot of my patients, is understanding, insight, mm-hmm. right? Empowerment within this thing that maybe an orthopedic surgeon or whoever has said, you know, it's only a matter of time until you know, you'll need to come back and see me, which is terrifying to think about, you know. And so that's the biggest part of mine. And in my practice just looks at that. I have consultations with people to really go into an evaluative diagnostic kind of thing. Is this a, more of a learned neurosomatic pathway that has rooted in fear, or is this an ongoing structural issue? And so one-on-one consultations, I do some lectures, one that recurs essentially every other week. It's called Pain Science is Brain Science. And then I also have a five-week workshop series where we really try to help people's nervous systems reprocess and desensitize to these persistent symptoms.
You are, to me, a hero in your field, because I know enough patients that have literally turned the corner when everything else failed. And I will say personally, because we only have 1 minute left, I about 12 years ago, I had very, very severe chronic pelvic pain, and it was completely emotionally driven and based. And there are people, if you've never experienced it, it's enough to make you jump off the Walnut Street Bridge if it continues on. It's that bad, because it affects the mental, anxiety, sleep, everything. Component, every single thing. And it was, and when I saw John Sarno's documentary, which you can Google Dr. John Sarno's documentary, when I first read his stuff, it literally, I was 50% better in one day, just knowing that connection of my emotions, my past trauma to my pelvic pain disorder. So I'm a huge fan. Tell people again.
And I agree with that too, Ed, and Dr. McClanahan, your physical health is linked to your emotional and spiritual health. It just is. And I've seen people that should be suffering that aren't, because they're so healthy spiritually and emotionally.
That's
All of my information can be found on my website. Contact directions, it's called centerforinsightmedicine.com, just all written out, all lowercase, centerforinsightmedicine.com. and as you referenced that Sarno documentary, you can find on YouTube. It's called All the Rage, which is aptly named, right? Talking about emotions under there. So,
and you are on Lee Highway, close to Nutrition World,
right? So
we have your cards at Nutrition World if someone forgets it and wants to come in. Thank you, Dr. McClanahan. You are a hero to me.
It's appreciate
time
the time
for us to take a break. When we come back, we'll be having Dr. Green's spiritual moment. We've got that plus more to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet and keep us tuned in each Sunday morning right here on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I am Ed Jones with Nutrition World here in Chattanooga with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green, and we always look forward to Dr. Green's spiritual moment.
Thank you, Ed. I love how you say you look forward to that. I do appreciate that. The spiritual moment is brought to you by Silverdale Baptist Church. If you would like to learn more about Silverdale, just visit their website, silverdalebc.com, silverdalebc.com, or just download their free app for Android or iPhone. I got there's some things coming up at Silverdale soon as well, so people should. I won't go into detail, but visit the website. I got a notice from Tony Walliser about that, so everybody check that out. Let's begin with a quote from the Diary of Anne Frank. No one has ever become poor by giving. And from Martin Luther King Jr., life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Well, giving the best we have and showing love when we've been wronged, especially to others who have wronged us, can really prove a difficult task. So what exactly is it that we're supposed to do in that situation? Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says, He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Okay, so God's word teaches us to behave justly, live humbly, and love and show mercy. Well, we may be emotionally, mentally, and spiritually mature. I mean, not me necessarily, but someone out there has to be. And maybe we are even physically strong in our own eyes. But when we have been wronged and our feelings are raw and exposed, is our first reaction really to show mercy and act justly? In times like these, I do try to recall two of the recommendations from the book, The Four Agreements. Those two are be impeccable with your words and don't take anything personally. But let's be honest here. When our emotions are looking more like ocean waves tossed in a storm or the violent eruption of a volcano, a calm and godly reaction does not come naturally. Yet, this is the correct response, and we are also told that God has told us what is good. About the only way to learn what is truly good and right is to read and study and meditate on God's Word. Making His Word a part of your daily life provides us with wise counsel and direction so that we can act justly in an unjust world. When we experience the love that He shows us, even though we do not deserve love and mercy, we can have the strength to show mercy to those who have offended and wronged us. We can learn to walk humbly when we consider that God Himself became human in Jesus and lived with us and gave His life for us. We really have absolutely nothing to boast about, but we can boast about God and all He has done for us. Keeping this mindset can help you heal from the inside out, the anchor of your heart secure in God as you go through difficult times and suffering. Then you will be able to walk humbly, act justly, and love mercy. We will be able to give of ourselves, like Anne Frank suggested, and to better serve others, like the Reverend King taught. Our ultimate example is Jesus, about whom Paul wrote when he said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, "Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage." So, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. That is your spiritual moment for the day. Ed?
Wonderful message, and thank you as always, Dr. Green. And I, you know, personally have learned in my 63 years that I have a lot left to learn, and I also have to work on myself on a daily basis, hourly basis. And one of those things is, you know, when I have a tendency to react, I want to take a step back and respond instead of react.
You know, biblically, there are so many references to keeping your mouth shut.
Really?
So many. Be careful with your words. Talks about your tongue being like the rudder of a ship, that just a word can change the course of your life or somebody else's life. And, you know, one of those four agreements is be impeccable with your words. And, you know, that's why I keep it posted right behind those four agreements, right behind my computer at the office. And so often I'm stopped from saying something that I should not have said or taking something personally when it wasn't meant that way. Mm-hmm. Because it's so easy, I think, to take something in life, to take it personally, to jump to conclusions and to say something hurtful when you feel like you're wronged. And half the time, maybe you weren't wronged in the first place. It was just your misperception.
Boy, is that not the truth. And, you know, so much of what people do has far less to do with us and far more to do with where they are in their life. And so, but yet we're taking it like it's all our fault, and so often it is not. And how many emails, or how better the world would be if we took 3 hours after writing an email before we hit the send button, because you know, I've done it, we've all done it, you know, in the moment we've like throwing everything out there on the keypad, and then like, yeah, I'm gonna send that right now, send. And if you had waited till the next day, you'd have never sent that email. Or
what
I would.
Your phone could have realized you were angry and just actually just put it into a holding file. Wouldn't that be nice?
That is an interesting concept. Kind of like the, you know, you having to do the thing on the car to make sure you're not drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a new invention. I bet no one's thought of that one.
Well, maybe my son, the programmer, can go do that for us.
This has nothing to do with health. I just want to throw it out real quick. It was so cool. I went down to the Dwell Hotel.
Great place.
On Thursday night with my partner, and we had a great time. But we got in an Uber going back, and it was a Tesla car, and it drove itself. I could not believe watching him with no hands on the steering wheel.
That's a little bit frightening.
It was changing lanes. It was keeping perfect distance. And it was freaky. And it's only going to get more and more, you know, common to do that. But the thing is, it won't do it on the secondary roads yet. It only does it on the interstate. But we get all the way from downtown to East Brainerd without him touching anything.
But you know what? Years ago, I mean, that technology is up and coming. I still remember even on lower level cars like Hondas, they will steer themselves down the interstate.
Yeah.
So you can get that technology. But yes, to give over all control. I'm not quite ready for that. I just don't think I am. But the Dwell, we'll mention that, by the way. If people haven't gone down and looked at the Dwell, I did New Year's Eve there, you know, I guess last year into this year. And that is a wonderful hotel. It was so nice. I went back the next day. I got a tour from the owner, you know, through the whole place. It's just an amazing artsy place. Very unique. I'll just leave it at that. Let people go and check it out for themselves.
I was Batman.
And he looked good, people. I hope he posted something.
Actually, I don't think I did, but I did post, was putting on mask at the Halloween place. I put on Abraham Lincoln, and I actually hit a double bicep pose on the Instagram for the Holistic Navigator. So you want to see a silly photo, Instagram, the Holistic Navigator. We got about a minute left. I want to say something from Scientific America. It was a great article that came out. My daughter gave it to me, talking about the soil depletion and how we are about 30 to 40% less nutrients in every single food that's grown since 1999 opposed to 1950. 1950, that's why perhaps our grandparents could still eat pretty what we think is not super healthy diets and do better, because the food was so much more packed with nutrients. They can look the same today, they can taste the same, but they simply are soil depleted in most cases. That's another case for supplementation as an insurance to make sure, because that being deficient is going to devastate your health. So you know what? That does it for this week's edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial 98.1 The Lake. Production from the Whitfield Media Group. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back here next week for a radio show that's all about your healthy living. For Dr. Christopher Green from CHI Memorial, Georgia, I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World here in Chattanooga, and we do have an online store now, and have a healthy and safe day. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake with Ed Jones and Dr. Christopher Green. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, is a production of Whitfield Media Group. Join us next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and have a great weekend.